What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. I am fired up because today we are going to be talking about something that is really, really going to help you if you are sending emails to your list right now. Now, if you are not sending emails to your list or you don't have a list, well, you should probably head on over to our Facebook group, our Rock Your Brand group. We've done some live streams in there talking about how to build your list. We have some training inside of there. So I would definitely encourage you to head on over to brandcreators.com/group and you can join over there. It's free. And all you need to do is just go on over there and answer a couple of questions and we'll let you in. And you can start learning how to build that list. Because here's the deal. If we are able to get the attention in our market and we control it, meaning we have an email list and we can send messages to this list of people that we know are interested in what we have to offer, well, we can send an email and increase our sales or drive traffic over to a blog post or drive traffic to our Facebook group like I just did, right? Same idea, wherever we want to drive the traffic, we have control over when we are sending these emails. But here is the important piece. You have to get the emails opened, all right? And there's a bunch of different things we can talk about, deliverability. We can talk about should there be images in there, like all of those things. We're not going to talk about that here today. What I am going to be sharing with you is how to get the attention, how to hook your reader, your subscriber, into wanting to read your stuff. And there's a few different things that we can do, and that's exactly what we break down inside of this live stream that we did inside of the group. Chris and I, we broke it down. We went into it. There's three different styles of hooks that you can use that will definitely increase your open rates. Now, let me just remind you, why is the open so important? Because if we can't get them to open, then we can't get them to click. If we can't get them to click, we can't get them to do what we want them to do, or at least the opportunity to give them more information or potentially buy a product. The open comes before the click. So we need to make sure that we can focus on getting as many opens as we can. All right. And that's what we're going to be doing here on today's episode. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and get ready to increase your open rates and get more eyeballs on your stuff. Alrighty, we are officially live inside of the Rock Your Brand Facebook group. What's up, guys? Hope you guys are having an amazing week. Can't believe it's already Wednesday, and here we are ready to kick off this week's live stream. I'm fired up about this topic, and actually this topic is a really good one because, number one, we've had a lot of people that struggle with not just building a list, but how do I communicate with the list, but how do I get people to open my emails? And it really does come down to coming up with a good, strong hook that will get, you know, it'll pique curiosity, it'll pique, you know, interest, it will get them to want to open the email. So we're going to share with you some different things that you can do. There's actually three different types of hooks, and we'll talk about those three and why they are so important. Also, we'll talk about like what makes up a really good punchy hook. So you guys can get some ideas. We'll give you a few examples for that as well. But guys, if you are here live, definitely put in the comments live. So that way there, we know you guys are here. And if you're watching this on the replay, put replay in the comments. And that way there, at least we know that you showed up. All right. So Chris, how's everything going? I don't know if anybody's seen you since, the last time that we were on, but you look a little different.
Yeah, just took it down, to quote our friend
Jimmy.
Knock
it down, man. Jimmy would be proud.
Yeah, Jimmy would be. I probably should actually text Jimmy and just send him a picture and just see what his reaction is. But yeah, I did. You know, I got kind of tired of it. It was just, you know, getting annoying. Like every time I'd go to get a haircut here. So because I live in Colombia, right, they're a fairly Catholic heavy country. So like every other Monday is some sort of like Saint whatever day. Right. So it's like a national holiday and everything's closed. So every time I'd go to get a haircut, they wouldn't be open. And so I was just like, well, I have a trimmer. I'm just going to take it down. So if you hung out with us last week, You may have seen it. If not, it is it's a little startling for people, but I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah. It's been nice.
So let's get rocking and rolling. I want to get started in on this. I know that people that are listening, whether they're on the podcast, whether they are in the group. And oh, by the way, if you are listening to this on the podcast, then what I would definitely encourage you to do is come on over and hang out with us in the Rock Your Brand Facebook group. And you can do that by heading over to brandcreators.com/group. And you can go ahead and join us. That's where all the cool kids hang out. At least that's what I've been told. So you should probably.
That's how you get to see my new haircut. You can't see hear my new haircut. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't know,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can
if you guys are listening, you can't see it. But Chris is almost bald, like almost completely bald. If you guys have ever seen Chris, he has a pretty good head of hair. But he just decided to take it down. So looks good, though. I like the look. All right. Let's get rocking and rolling. Again, if you guys have any questions about this, let us know in the comments. That's another thing that we do here on these live streams inside of the Rock Your Brand group. It's another benefit of being here live is you get to ask any questions that you may have. So Chris, let's talk about this. I'm going to kind of tee it up a little bit and let people understand what we're doing here. When we are building an email list, like that's just one aspect, right? To get people on your email list, yes, that is a completely different thing, right? It's a different thing that we're doing, but we still have to get people's attention, you know, the right people's attention. And then from there, we need to get them to raise their hand by putting their email address in. And then we get this group of people, this list of people that are interested in what we have to offer, or at least the topic that we are discussing in the niche. Now, that's one thing, right? And that's, you know, that's something that everyone should be doing in their business is building that email list. But then once you get it built, we need to get eyeballs. We need to get people opening our emails. So I want you guys to understand when you get the email list, it's great. But if you're not getting good open rates, then what good is it, right? Like, great, you have a list of 1,000 people, but if you're only getting 5% of people to open it, it's not that many people. So we want to increase that. Now, if you guys are brand new to email list building or email marketing, typically I would say industry, and Chris, you might know the exact number, but industry standards are generally below 15%. That's generally what it is. Although if you're a good email marketer and you understand and you know, understand like the, what we're going to teach you here today, as far as like getting the interest and getting people to want to open your emails, building the KLT, the know, like, and trust and all that stuff, then we can get it as high as, well, I sent out one just the other day to a niche that we're building a small brand in, and it's got around 3,400 people on it. And I got an over 50% open rate on that, Chris, 50%. So it's possible to get above a 50%, but average, I would say if you're doing it well, I would say shoot for between 20% and 30%. That's about where I would like to say, if you're not getting that, we got to play with that hook a little bit. We got to start figuring out the subject line and how to tweak that. And that's what we're going to cover here today. But just understand, without the open, okay, people aren't seeing our emails. So if we get the open, the next thing is getting the click. All right. But we can't get the click until we get the emails open. So we're going to talk today, three different types of hooks for your emails that will increase your open rates. All right. So Chris, why don't you, now that I've teed it up, why don't you go ahead and kind of dig in? Like, what is the first type of email hook that you would say would be one to tap into?
So the easiest one for anybody to do, right? Because you can literally take any idea and turn it into this, is asking a question, right? And so one of the things that does is it forces people to open the email to get the answer to the question. Right. And you may be saying, well, maybe they already know the answer, and maybe they do, but they're still going to open the email to confirm that they know that. Right. So, Scott, if I sent you an email that said, you know, what's the average email open rate? Let's just use that as the example. Right. You'd probably go 15%. And I'm going to tell you, no, it's 16.97. Right. The most recent study that I saw was right around 17%.
Okay.
Right? Now, that includes the people who never send email. And then, you know, once a year blast some sort of spam to their 100,000 emails. And that includes, you know, everybody, right?
Right.
But you're still going to open that email. Do you want to know this, right? And all we have to do is plug that question mark in on the back end. And what that's going to do is that's going to inherently tap into the human curiosity that we have. And when we do that, people want to know the answer to that question, right? In our minds, it bugs us as human beings to have a question floating out there. And the only way for them to resolve that issue is for them to either totally ignore it because they didn't resonate with the question, right? In which case, maybe we just need to try something else with our email list, or to open the email, right? And that's all we're trying to do at this point. And Scott, you and I have talked in the past about the different things that we have, the different jobs that we have. Today is all about getting somebody just to open that email. Yep. And we can force people to do that, you know, not at gunpoint, right? But at the point of tapping into human nature. And asking a question is something that anybody can do. And when you and I have talked about creating content, right, we said we like to go after question-based content first, and that you can turn basically any keyword that you find into a question. Well, if you're sending a content-based email to an article like, what is the average email open rate in 2022? Not only do we not have to be creative, right? Because we can just take that article title and make that the subject line for the email, but we can do the same thing with email. So even if it's not being sent to like a question-based article, we can just turn it into a question. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I want to give an example that I came up with before we actually got on here, because I wanted to give people an example. So let's say, for example, I'm going to use my bass fishing, you know, market as one. So if I was in that market, an email that I could send is this: want to catch more bass? Question mark. So if you're into bass fishing and I got you to join my email list because I put out a lead magnet, maybe there was, you know, five ways to catch more bass and win your next, you know, fishing tournament or something like that. And if I put an email out like that, want to catch more bass? Well, if you're a bass fisherman, you want to catch more bass, right? So that's a pretty generic question, but it's a question. Okay. And then from there, people, if they're like reading that, they're like, well, yeah. So then they're going to see what it's all about, right? So that also lends itself to curiosity. Something for us, let's say like right now, like we're heavily talking about email and how important it is for your business. So we are creating lead magnets outside of, you know, what we're doing here inside of the Rock Your Brand, you know, as far as like the podcast and things like that. So as I'm getting people to come in on a lead magnet, and it could be our web class that we recently did, and we advertise that for people that want to know how to build a list and how to do email marketing. Once we have them on our list, if I wrote an email and the subject line was, want more email subscribers? Question mark. There's a good chance that they're going to want to open that email. Now, if I sent that same subject line to the people that are into bass fishing, it wouldn't mean anything. You'd have a very low open rate because people are like, well, email subscribers, I don't know what the heck that is. I want to catch more bass, right? So it's really important that you just keep it simple, short, but a question, all right? And a question always has worked for us and will continue to, because like Chris said, it taps into that human psychology. So Chris, let's move on to the second one. What is the second type?
Yeah, so we talked about asking a question, right? And Scott, you actually touched on number two here, which the reason that number one works, right? And the reason that I like the questions is because it's really easy for people to wrap their head around, totally. Right? You just throw a question mark on the back end of any statement and you're 90% of the way there. Obviously, we have to think through, like, does this make sense as a question? Is it in the form of a question, right? And we can, you know, talk to our good friend Alex Trebek just to make sure. But the second one, and you just touched on this, is really about either what I call leaving an open loop or tapping into what's the word that I'm looking for here, Scott? I'm drawing a blank.
Curiosity.
Tapping into curiosity. There we go. Curiosity killed the cat, but it helps your email open rate, right? And so what that does is it makes them curious. And just like with the question side of things, right? We are tapping into that human nature. So what do I mean by leaving an open loop or creating curiosity, right? We want people wanting more. And you'll see this almost always in the checkout lines at grocery stores, right? The headlines on all of those magazines do a great job of creating curiosity. This one weird trick is how he saved his head of hair, right? Mm-hmm. Some of those kinds of things. The other way that I like to do this is with the open loop concept, right? So we end the subject line in an ellipsis. If you guys aren't familiar with that term, it just is dot, dot, dot. Right. Mm-hmm. That's just the grammatical term for an ellipsis. So we could say something like, you'll never believe this, dot, right. dot, dot. right? And that would give us that open loop. And what people want to do is they want to close that loop. For those of you guys who aren't familiar with that terminology, this is what TV shows do really well, right? You watch the whole season of a TV show, and at the very first episode, right, they start to show you all the problems. And the very last episode, they resolve all those problems, right? And Michelle and I are going through Scott right now, and we're watching Breaking Bad because she had never seen it, right? And so at the end, you know, the end of season four, they take out the big bad guy, spoiler alert, right? They take out who is, you know, the guy that is the big bad guy, and then something happens that you don't really see, right? That's creating another open loop to bring people back for season five, right? And you see this all the time in TV shows. And we can do this just by using that ellipses at the end of that email subject line. So we could say, right, ends tonight, dot, dot, dot. And somebody actually just asked, right, could we do this with profit push emails? And the answer is absolutely yes, because they're going to go, wait, what ends tonight? I don't understand, mm-hmm. right? If they haven't seen the other emails, and that's going to force them to open it, to have the idea and understand how to resolve that problem in their head. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And if you think about it, I mean, it was funny. Lisa and I the other night were watching Shark Tank. And you got to also look at TV shows, all of them, Impractical Jokers. I watch those guys. And they'll always tease something before the commercial break, if there is a commercial, right? They always put that in there, even though you might have Hulu without commercials, but it will still build up the curiosity that if there was a commercial, you don't want to leave. You want to wait because you want to see how it ends. So that happened last night as we were watching Shark Tank. They were getting ready to, you know, talk about this one thing with this guy, and his face looked like, I can't believe you're asking me this. And you wanted to know what it was. And then they cut to commercial, right? So we're like, wow, I wonder what he's going to say. I wonder what they mean. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, they actually probably made that look longer of a suspense moment between all of them than it actually was to draw in that curiosity. And it does. It keeps you there. Same thing with Impractical Jokers. You'll see like they're getting ready to do something, and then you see the look on the person's face, and then you see the person on one of the Impractical Jokers' face, and you're like, oh my gosh, is he really going to do that? And then you wait and you see if he really does it, if he says yes or no. So we can build these into our emails too, right? I think what Russell Brunson calls it, like the soap opera kind of email sequences, where you kind of like every email has something that's teasing the next email and then the next one. Now, I think that could get a little overboard, but if you just use this concept in just your hooks and your subject lines, you will increase your open rates, right? Now, we'll talk another time about increasing your click through rate, which again is the second phase in this whole thing. It's like building the list, one thing, getting people to open your emails, another thing, getting people to click to go through to the thing that you want them to either buy or to go to the piece of content. That's the next thing, right? So there's different things that we're doing here to encourage people to keep moving down the path that we're sending them on, right? So email subject lines are huge. Don't overcomplicate them. I would also say this before we move on to the third one, Chris, is make them shorter than a long sentence, okay? And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you ever look at subject lines on your mobile, you'll see that it only shows like three or four words and then it gets truncated. So you don't actually see the whole message. So use those first three words very, very sparingly and also creatively, right? And it can be very, very simple. Okay.
Well, and Scott, that's something that you do very well in your subject lines. Not to toot your horn too much, because we're on here talking.
Oh, toot it, baby, right? Toot it.
But if you look at the emails that we send out as brand creators, we are generally following one of these first two, right? Mm-hmm. And Scott, you sent an email a few days ago to a bunch of people. You know how she did 19K in 4 days. Well. Yep. What did she do? What did she sell, right? That's creating curiosity. That's not necessarily leaving an open loop, right? But the way that we do that is, hey, you know, ending in 5 minutes, dot, dot, dot. Well, what's ending? I don't understand, right? Mm-hmm. I can't believe he asked me this, right? Those all work for creativity, right? And so even with just creativity and questions, right? Or curiosity and questions is the word that I'm looking for. I don't know why curiosity does not appear in my vocabulary today. Curiosity, right? And questions, those are going to be two of the most powerful ones. And they're going to be the ones that you'll see most often, because people are generally afraid of the third one. But the third one done correctly can actually be the most powerful one. And that is creating a controversy, right? So if I'm working for ButcherBox, maybe we send an email, right? Which for those of you guys who don't know, ButcherBox, CrowdCow, these are like meat subscription services, right? So you just get meat delivered to your door, right? It's the, what was the old, not Outback, but what was the old steak delivery service that people used to give like as a gift, Scott? Omaha. It started with
Omaha. That's it.
Right. Yeah. It's like Omaha steaks, but not like as a gift, right? It's like something you would generally buy for yourself. So if we were working for CrowdCow or ButcherBox, maybe we send an email that says, why being vegan sucks, right? And it's like, vegans are going to open that because they're going to be ready to fight. Meat eaters, carnivores, people who only eat meat are going to open that because they're like, yeah, right? And so you're going to get both people to open it. The problem and the place where people run into trouble with this is not then justifying it on the back end, which we have to do in the email content, right? And that's where a lot of people run into problem, right? Email's not dead. That could be considered a controversial headline, unless you hang out with us, in which case you know that it's the highest return on investment marketing activity that any online business can do, right? But we could send that to our list, and I guarantee you that would get a very high open rate, right? Facebook ads suck. That would be another good one, right? Or why this is this way. Because what's going to happen, just like with the vegan thing and the carnivore thing, anybody who has even a passing interest in that topic is going to open it either to fight with you or to 100% agree with you, right? And so they want to know because of the same human nature stuff that we're talking about with the questions and with the curiosity, right? They want to either justify their position or know what they want to scream about, right? And so Facebook ads people, when you say why Facebook ads suck, they're going to open it ready to fight, right? People who aren't sure, they're going to open it because they want to know why, you know, if they're potentially wasting money on their Facebook ads, right? So you're able to get both sides of the fence. And I think, Scott, the reason that a lot of people avoid this is they don't want to be controversial.
Right.
But the real truth is the more controversial you are, the more you attract the right people to you and the more you repel the people who aren't interested in ever buying things from you anyway, right? If I, as CrowdCow or ButcherBox, send out the why being vegan sucks emails, well, we don't really have like impossible burgers on the menu at CrowdCow. So anybody in my audience that wants to fight about that topic probably isn't the ideal customer anyway. Right. And all the people who want to open it because they love meat and they want to see, you know, the juicy pictures we're going to include on the inside or whatever. It's probably a weird way of saying that since we're talking about meat, but whatever. Right. The awesome looking steak that we're going to give them if they open the email, whatever it is. Right. It's going to ingratiate those people with us and it's going to repel the people that we don't want anyway. And so people are afraid to use it, but it is one of the most powerful. And it's one of the things that we should have in our arsenal, because if we're struggling with open rates, it can be one of the biggest ones that you'll see. I would use it a little more sparingly than I would the other two, but it is definitely a tool to have in your toolbox.
Well, and I think the way to think about this too, and I know, you know, some of our private clients and just even some people that are just listening to this, I know that there is a us against them type of angle. And so the way to think about this is kind of like, who are you throwing rocks at, right? Like, so who are you throwing rocks at? Meaning, who are you for and who are you against? And sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. But so for us, for example, right, we are against the hustle, right? The posting 82 pieces of content in a day, posting it on TikTok, posting it on Facebook, posting it on Instagram, wherever a new platform pops up, Clubhouse, you know, post everything everywhere, be everywhere, the Gary V mindset, right? And I got nothing against Gary. What's working for him, it's working for him. He's got a huge team that's doing it and all that stuff, and he's just blitzing the market, but he's spending a lot of money to do it. But that's another conversation. But we are against that mindset and also that methodology, right? Ours is a lot simpler. Right. So ours to us is like, we're all about keeping business simple because we like to spend time with our family. We don't want to spend 40 hours a week just posting to possibly get some organic reach. Right. So for us, we're like, email's it, man. That's where it's at. So now when you're kind of in this camp, right, and we're looking at that camp over there, it's like, no, man, it's hustle. It's this, that, and the other thing. It's like, we're against them. We're for us. Now, am I saying like we're being mean to those people? No, but I am getting you to say, Are you here? Are you with us? Or are you over there? Because if you're with us, cool, we'll keep communicating. If you're against us or, you know, for them, then you probably want to go over there and start following what they're telling you to do, right? So it is an us against them, which also then becomes more of a unit, more of a group. And then that's who you speak to, right? So like Chris said, like, we're kind of against social media as an organic play, right? Because the reach is so low. I shared this in the web class. It's like under 1%, right? And you have to do all of these different things as the algorithm changes, because you might start getting some reach when you're doing reels, but now all of a sudden reels aren't popular and, you know, the memes are. So now you got to start doing memes, and then you got to keep trying to pay attention to that. Email's pretty simple, right? You get someone to raise their hand by putting out a lead magnet. Yes, we're using Facebook ads a lot of times. That's social media, but we're targeting a specific group to get them on our email list. So then we can communicate with those people that are in our camp. All right. And then we can just keep messaging about things that are interesting to them, right? Do you want to catch more bass, right? You'll never believe what I just caught, ? Right. Things like that. So use these different ways, different times, but just give yourself, I guess, these three different categories to pull from, but you really can't go wrong with the first two. Like, you know, creating questions also creates curiosity. So you're almost like taking those two and blending them together in a lot of cases. All right. So that's the three: questions, curiosity, and controversy. Okay. Those are the three. All right. So Chris, let's go ahead and see if we got any questions. Oh, before I do, guys, if you're here live or even on the replay, if you guys are getting value from this stream, go ahead and say "I" in the comments. Let us know. Because again, we need to make sure that this is good for you so we can keep showing up and delivering this value inside of this group. So all I ask is that you play along here. You know, did you get some value today? Are you guys going to go ahead and try to use these subject lines or these hooks in your subject lines? Let us know. A bunch of eyes coming in. Yes, value. Cool. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Again, we want this to be engaging for everyone. All right, cool. Yep. Seen another eye there. Okay. Lots of value here, Karen. Thank you, Karen. Awesome. Okay, cool. So Chris, we got any questions that we want to address here before we wrap up this this live stream?
We do. We have a handful, and there were two things I wanted to cover really fast. One, my rule of thumb for this is that anytime you're going to send an email, take 10 seconds and just drop on a piece of paper, right? Or in your notebook, one take on each of those three and see which one resonates with you, right? If this showed up in your inbox, assuming you're the target market, right? Obviously, if you're talking about bass fishing, you've never been on a lake in your life, maybe ask a bass fisherman, right? But just write one question, write one thing that's curiosity, and write one controversy. And you'll start to get really good at this. If you're struggling for ideas, one of the best places on the planet to go, youtube.com, right? Take a look at video titles and thumbnails and see what they're doing. Just looking at my homepage here, Scott, right? Sorted food. Why did this incredibly fancy menu make history, right? The media declared war. Facebook, this one small trick could double your Facebook results, right? Just in those three things, yep. We've created a controversy, right? The media declares war. Well, who'd they declare war on? Like, what's going on? You know, and if it's a channel that you know, you're like, okay, maybe I know, and you're going to go watch the video. And if you hate the guy, you're going to go watch the video anyway, right? The question, right? This, why did this menu make history? Well, if you're interested in food or history, you're probably going to click on that, right? Because you're like, yeah, I kind of want to know that. It's really fancy. Why did it make history? And then this one weird trick can save you money on Facebook ads, right? That's creating that open loop for people because you want to know what that controversy is. Yeah. So with that in mind, if you guys are struggling, write down one of each when you go to send an email and you'll start to get really good at this. And then if you're really struggling, go to YouTube, look at a few videos in your niche, just see what pops up in the home feed and start to play off of those kinds of things. Karen said, in regards to open rate, you guys were talking about that at the beginning, even when somebody opens an email only to delete it, that counts as an open, right? Yeah. And here's the deal with that, Karen. There's not really a good way to track that. The best metric for how well your email is performing is actually click-through rate. And it's actually not even click-through rate because different platforms report that differently. It would be the click-to-open ratio, right? So if we got 100 people to open it and 5 people clicked, even though a lot of email platforms will report, you know, if we sent 1,000, they'd report it as 0.05, that click-to-open ratio, that would be a 5% click-through rate based on people who actually saw it, right? So that's the best metric. It's just everybody reports everything a little differently. So open rate is kind of the go-to metric. And you are going to have, you know, a handful of people that aren't going to interact with it, or they'll open it and read a sentence or two. But if that's happening, that's a problem in the body of the email, right? So our first job is to get them to open. And if we can get them to open, then we can worry about the other stuff. Right. But we have to focus on getting them opened. Where can we view the previous lives? I believe that is brandcreators.com/vault. And you should be able to find them there, or you can find them right here inside the Rock Your Brand Facebook group. Scott, I had one other question that came through.
Yeah, it was about the lead magnet as far as, where was it? Yeah, does every lead magnet need an automated nurture sequence emails? And the answer is no. Okay, so here's the deal on that. I hear a lot of people talk about nurture sequences and they think they have to be like, it needs to be 8 messages long before you send them something to buy. And that is wrong. That is not advice that we've given. And it's not advice that we do give. Now, does that mean that you're not going to live up to the promise of the lead magnet? Of course. If you, if you have a lead magnet, and there's a lot of different things that you can do. I mean, you could sell immediately on the thank you page. We're not going to get into that right now, but here's my thought. When you send that first email is going to deliver on what you promised. If it's a 20% off discount, you're going to give the discount and say, hey, if you got any questions, let us know, right? And then you're going to send some follow-up emails about that, and then probably sprinkle in some of your content that is going to get them to know, like, and trust you, right? You're going to have maybe send a few hybrids, things like that, okay? But you do not have to create this long nurture sequence that, like, builds that know, like, and trust, and that's all it does. Okay. There's ways that we can kind of use the hybrid style email that we teach and really start selling right out of the gate. All right. You don't have to wait. So I would say, no, you don't have to build this, you know, long nurture sequence. That is something that you do not have to worry about. Now, a few emails, sure, but I still think you should be having some sales stuff happening if you have anything to offer.
Yeah. And as long as we deliver the lead magnet, anything beyond that is a bonus, right? So I would say you do technically have to have like a one email automation on the back end of that, which is, hey, bud, here's your lead magnet, right? But beyond that, we don't really have to build that out. Now, can we get more value out of it? Yes. But when do we do that becomes the question. And to me, the answer is when we know that lead magnet is converting at a rate and at a cost to, you know, a cost per lead that is acceptable to us,
right?
Then we can come back in and say, how do we make this better? Mm-hmm. Right. And Scott, I like the idea of what you just said, which is, do we have an automated profit push sequence, mm-hmm. for example, that we can push them through? And if that's the case, then I would try to bolt that on. You know, maybe we have to write 2 or 3 emails before we start doing that, yep. with a lead magnet, but that would be something I'd like to see bolted on. Sooner rather than later for most.
But think about this though. Let's talk about this real quick before we jump. So it also depends on the lead magnet itself. If someone is signing up for a 20% off discount, they obviously want a discount. They want to buy something, right? So if you immediately gave that 20% off discount and then followed up with another reminder about the 20% off discount, and then you came back and said, you know, here's an email with some content, and then in the PS, oh, just to let you know, the 20% off discount is still available. You bump them there again. Then you send out another, email that builds a little bit of know, like, and trust with some content, but then you have the PS there. So you always can have that in the PS, but then immediately after that, you can drop them into one of the profit pushes and drive them right into a sequence that is designed to sell, because those people signed up to buy something. So they're in a different mindset than someone that's just looking for free information. Okay. So there's a different mindset there. And that would be something that we'd have to look at and specifically design and strategize on what is the best, sequence to bolt on if we're bolting something on, which also leads to the next thing here, Chris. If you guys are listening to this and you would like our help, our personal direct help, you want us to help you one-on-one, we do have a 12-week program that we help with content. We help with email marketing and all of that stuff. If you would like to book a free call, a 15-minute call, it's a game plan call. We will look at your existing business. And if you have an email list currently, we will be able to identify if it's something that we feel like that we could help you with personally and be part of this program. So if you are interested, go ahead and book that call, no strings attached. And in some cases, we may say, you're not a good fit for us to help you personally, but we'll point out a few things that you can do in the meantime. So book one of those calls. We don't know how much longer we're going to be offering these 15-minute free game plan calls, but right now we are. So if you're listening to this or watching this, go ahead and go to that link. And if the calendar link is there, then we're still offering them. So just go ahead and book that call. Only though, if you have an existing business that has some type of momentum. So that's who we're looking for. That's who we can help the most. All right. So with that being said, Chris, are you good? Are we ready to get out of here? We got a lot of stuff going on today to get going here. So you good?
We had one other question.
Ooh, what question snuck in? All right.
Well, I had to think about it because Dave said, what happens to open rates if I read an email without opening? And I went, well, how would you do that? And then I was thinking about how I use my phone. And occasionally, you know, I'll get that little Gmail pop up. And I'll just drag it down. And if you look at the notification, you can see that. In that case, it doesn't count towards an open. Right. And so, you know, we can play with that. And yes, more people may have seen it than have opened. But again, that's not something we can track as marketers. So we're, you know, we can't worry about that. But if we do enough, a good enough job with the subject line, chances are you're going to open it anyway. Right. So that's what we're going for. And if we use one of those three tactics, that's going to give us the best chance of getting even Dave, who only looks at his notifications and doesn't open emails, just kidding,
bud. Right.
to open those emails and start moving them down that chain.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys, one last little call to action here for you guys. If you do want to schedule one of those 15-minute game plan calls while we're still doing them, if you're on here live or on the replay, just type call in the comments. Okay, just type call in the comments and we'll reach out to you personally. If you're listening to this on the podcast, go to brandcreators.com/call and you can check that out over there and see the details. All right, depending on when you're listening to this, if you go to that page and there's availability, you will see that. If there is not, then you will see that as well. All right, so guys, that's it. That's going to wrap it up. As always, remember, I'm here for you. I believe in you and I am rooting for you. So is Chris, but you have to come on, say it with me, say it loud, say it proud. Come on, Chris, say it with me. 1, 2, 3, take action. Have an awesome day, guys. We'll see you next time. I haven't done that in a while. Felt a little weird, but I wanted to do it. Take care, like guys. Oh, and one last thing. If you can do me one small favor and leave me a review over on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast, and just let me know what is one thing that the podcast has helped you with since listening, whether you just started listening or if you're a longtime listener, like this one right here from Leanne. She says, content is invaluable. 5 stars. Host forever keeps my attention. The content is always extremely helpful. He's given me more of an education in the last year and a half that I've been listening than I would have gotten with a degree in entrepreneurship, if that's even a thing. Tons of incredible, useful information, tips, and motivation. My favorite things are, 1, he is not boring. He's engaging and motivating in a personal and professional way. 2, he doesn't dribble on about off topics. And 3, the titles are on point. When I'm struggling with particular issues, I know that I can go to the podcast, search through the podcast, and find what I'm after. This is great because I certainly don't have time to go through a million episodes of different podcasts, just hoping that I'll run across the topic I'm needing at that time. So I appreciate these so much. Your review will help inspire and motivate other people, and it will also allow us to reach more people inside of these platforms. So if you would do that, that would be amazing. And as always, remember, I'm rooting for you.